everybody. Welcome back to Ora Lebo Heights, coming at you from Whittier Boulevard in East LA. And today, I have a very, I would say, satisfied guest after what we just ate. Fernando Carrillo of Radcomp Ferns Barbecue. Please introduce yourself to folks.
Hello, how's it going? My name is Fernando Carrillo from Radcomp Ferns Barbecue.
And where are we?
We are at Tortas Ahogadas El Güero. Probably, I won't even say probably, I'll say my favorite Torta Ahogada spot.
All right. And then what makes this your favorite spot?
Because it's the only one that I've had here in LA or anywhere outside of Guadalajara that tastes like the real deal from there.
Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar with Tortas Ahogadas, how would you translate that to somebody, by the way? In English?
Well, I mean, it translates as pretty much drowned sandwich or drowned something dunked in liquid.
I think I would like to start calling them that now.
Let's go eat drowned sandwiches.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Drowning sandwich? Drowning a burrito.
Yeah. Well, it's like they wet burritos, right?
Yeah.
Why can't you wet a sandwich?
Why not? So these were fucking bomb. We got the combo special, which is a torta, taco on the side. We got potato tacos and a soda. All for, I'm looking at the sign right now, $11.42 plus tax.
Can't even get a Big Mac for that.
Ken? I don't know. I don't need Big Macs anymore.
No, I know. I'm not going to lie. I go to McDonald's often, but I would much rather pay $11 for this than for $11 at McDonald's.
Yeah. This is a dope spot. You've been talking to me about this spot for a long time.
Years.
For years, because, you know, anytime I eat Tortas Ahogadas, shout out to Tortas Aguilas, you come up into the DMs, you're like, hey, man, have you gone to El Güero? But have you gone to El Güero?
Yeah, pretty much. I make sure I make a point of that.
But yeah. You also just had your birthday cruise, your second annual birthday cruise at Elysian Park. Tell folks a little bit about it.
Well, it started kind of how that all came about was that usually previous years I would do something called like the Player Haters Ball.
Hey, you know.
We would go to just random bars I would pick and just pretty much celebrate my birthday there. Why I called it that, just I thought it was funny.
It's funny.
It was just funny. We're like, oh, the Player Haters Ball. And then it would just be every year the 2021 or 2020 Player Haters Ball or whatever. The last time I did it, I think we were at a bar in downtown and I actually dressed kind of tacky to kind of go with the theme of it, but the following year, I was just kind of over it. I was like, you know what? I'll try something different. And then I think at the time, I'm trying to say that's when kind of COVID hit.
2020, 2019.
Because this was 2 years ago, and COVID's been going on already for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Next year will be the third year. Mm-hmm. So when that came about, I was like, you know what? Well, we can't really be at bars or anything like that. And then as I kind of got older, I kind of got out of the bar scene or kind of going out, I'm kind of becoming more of a homebody. So I was just like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm not trying to hang out at 2, 3, 4 in the morning drunk.
That's a lot of drinking.
Yeah. Oh, and especially because when it lands on my birthday, it's when you get an hour extra.
Oh, daylight savings.
It's daylight savings. So you're like, oh, cool. You know, you end up partying an extra hour. But yeah, I kind of got over that. I felt older and I was like, you know what? I want to do something more age appropriate or something that I actually enjoy or like or want to do. So then that's when we came about with that. I just wanted to have a party at Elysian Park.
Hell yeah. How old are you, by the way?
I just turned 36.
Hey, you're just peaking.
Well, shit, I'm close to 40 already. So
hey, I'm 38.
I'm closer to 40 than I am away from it. So I'm pretty much 40.
I enjoy very much getting older.
Oh, me too. That's what I told my old lady. Like, I don't know if she like, I'll catch her looking at herself in the mirror and then like looking at this and that and talk about creams and all this. I'm like, man, I don't give a fuck.
Facial creams,
I welcome aging because like for me, I kind of feel like the older I'm getting, the better my life is getting.
Yeah.
Or at least the more I'm enjoying it.
Definitely, so I appreciate the maturity that comes along with it. Not just, you know, making random decisions. I mean, sometimes I do, but that's more like for lunch. Like, what am I going to eat? But also, I am enjoying my current transition phase because, as you can see in my facial hair, I'm already starting to get white.
Well, I haven't gotten that yet.
My hair is pretty much already there.
I haven't gotten those yet. I'm still lucky.
Once it starts getting in other places, I was like, all right, this is real.
Yeah, no, I'm lucky still. My dad didn't get white hairs till he's well into his 70s. So hopefully I get that
genetics.
Gene.
Yeah, because yeah, my dad, también, I got it from him or from my dad's side, where it starts like already showing up in your 20s and your 30s.
No, fuck. No, not me. I hope I don't get it till like I'm 60 at least. I'm happy with 50. Fuck it, whatever.
Salt and pepper on the side. I mean, Doctor Strange is in right now. Is what I got going.
What are they? No, what do they call dude? Silver foxes?
Or, yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
But yeah, your birthday cruise at the park is always fun because you go all out, man. You invite the homies. You invite the homies from your car club, strictly family. You know, you invite your extended family of the barbecue community, foodie community, and you hook everybody up. You hook it up with carnitas el momo. And you have a conjunto playing. Yeah. So, you know, you bring the jams for everybody at the park.
Yeah, that was that first year that we did it. I don't know, like, I kind of wanted, like you said, like, I was turning 35. So I was like, you know, I kind of want to go balls out a little bit, like, splurge a little. And I've, like, I like a lot of different music. But I think majority of the music that I listen to is mainly, like, older music. Be, like, oldies, funk, or just older R&B or soul music, whatever you want to say.
Rest in peace, Art LeBeau.
Yeah. And when I'm not listening to that, I'll listen to a lot of like Norteño music.
Yeah.
And even at that, I like the older stuff. I don't really care for like the newer
No, like Jenny 69.
No, definitely not that. Who? You know? But no, I stick to mainly like the 90s stuff and under, so I'll listen to like Chalino at the newest.
Yeah. That band with the Conjunto, like, they were popping because they played one of my favorite songs, La Camioneta Gris.
That's the one that I always ask for.
The Gris. Because
I like a lot of the, well, for me, it's like Los Tigres del Norte are the shit. Like, that, I think if I had to pick between, like, some of my top stuff, it'd be like Los Tigres del Norte, Ramon Ayala, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, fucking, who else? Lalo Mora. A lot of that stuff. That
classics.
Style.
Yeah.
I like the Cadetes de Linares, a lot of older stuff. I'm just an old soul, I guess.
Yeah, man, different vibe. Different vibe. Definitely music that, right, I can see you cruising to.
Yeah.
Right? Just like going down the boulevard.
Uh-huh.
Just listening. I hear the Carlos right there next to you, and you're just like, bam.
Yeah.
Riding
yeah.
into the sunset.
So I like doing that. So when I was kind of thinking about what to do, I'm like, you know what? Like you said, a lot of things were going on at the time, and I was just like, you start appreciating life more, and you start thinking more of, like, to do things that make you happy, so to say, because, like, I mean, we could go at any moment. I could walk out of here, and I could get hit by a bus, you know?
Both of us, right?
And you never know. So I'm all for, like, enjoying yourself and doing things or living your life to the best of your ability. I mean, as long as you ain't doing anything wrong, like robbing people or, like, you know, doing any of that stuff. But, I mean, I'm all for living your life and not taking shit from anyone, and don't let other people hold you back from living the way you want to live. You know, as long as you're doing, you know, what you think in your mind or in general the right thing, then you do it. At the end of the day, you know, only you know what works for you and what makes you happy. Like, don't live your life how I think a lot of people do on social media or anything, where they do things to make other people happy, not so much to make themselves happy.
There's that wisdom coming in.
Because I'm getting old. That was a 36-year-old talking.
Hey, I don't live to live.
Hey, it's true.
I like it, though, man. I really appreciate the slowdown, the retrospectiveness of it, and this feeling I get oftentimes where I feel like I'm watching things from the outside in. It's like, oh, damn. I remember what it was like being in the mix like that. Good thing I'm not there anymore.
Shit, I can't even do that now. Like, I think we all have our tempers or, like, our little boiling points, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone does. Everyone, or at least a lot of people do. And I remember when I was younger, I was a little more confrontational or a little more, like, hot-headed. I'm like,
so what you say, fool?
Yeah, but now it's like, shit, now I'm on high blood pressure medicine. If somebody fucking hits me, or I'm gonna bleed to death. Like, fuck that. Like, I can't, like, no. I can't do that shit.
Yeah, take it in somebody who's now taking Metamucil regularly.
Yeah, so it's like, shit, just the other day I was working on something before I had just, that was like my first cut while I was on medication. Little bullshit cut too. And I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. It's a little cut. I'm just covering it with my hand and keep on going. Next thing I was like, hey, this shit's not stopping.
Oh, fuck.
I was like, oh, shit. I was like, okay, then I need to be careful with getting cut or bleeding. He's like, yeah, no, I can't be doing any of that shit anymore.
Nah, man. Nah. And then you were also a self-professed cat dad.
And it's funny because I didn't always like cats.
No?
No.
What do you think was the transition?
Probably when I met my old lady, Carla. Because she's a super cat woman.
When y'all started, like, you know, dating and then eventually moved in together, did they have a cat they brought with them?
No. We ended up... before we even moved in, like, I guess I started, like, liking cats. And I was like, all right, cool.
You know? Like what? Like stuff on the internet? Videos?
Yeah, pretty much. Because, I mean, everything is like, what did they say? That I think cat videos or pictures are like the most shared or viewed or liked things on the internet.
One of them, yeah.
So, you know, like I'm not going to say I'm tough and I'm cool and I'm this and that. Like shit, I find shit cute, you know? So I'm not going to say that, you know? So like, I was like, yeah, that shit's funny. Next thing you know, I started like kind of liking cats I'm not even going to lie. I hated cats before. Hated them.
Why? Because they did something wrong to you?
No, it's not even that. It's just, I grew up with dogs.
Ah.
So I was originally a dog person, but when I started like disliking them was the fact that they would mess with my cars a lot.
Oh, because, yeah. Typically, cats are hanging out outside. Your car is outside, and then the cats are just, like, hanging out on the roof. If your car is dusty, you can see the paw prints.
Well, it wasn't even that. The thing is, like, my convertible that I had has a canvas top. Like,
yeah,
the material.
They love to sleep on that.
Fuck sleeping. They were scratching it. They got it as a scratching post, so that would piss me off. And then not just that, but, like, whenever I was about to, okay, cool, I'm gonna go somewhere, so I take the car cover off or anything that I would do. You know, I didn't know at the time that's what it was. I would see, like, almost like waxy stuff on the car. And I was like, man, what the fuck is this? Did I forget to take off some of the chrome polish or something? Like, it literally looked like somebody put wax on it. And then later on, I found out that was, I guess, the spray, the cat spray.
The territorial marking spray.
Like, yeah, yeah. So I was like, okay, now I know what it is. And so somebody told me.
So these cats are literally pissing on your car.
Pissing on it, spraying on it, scratching the car covers. So I had to go through like car covers every so often because they would fuck them up.
Damn.
So I was just like, yeah, I don't like cats. But now I like them. So
justifiable reason.
Yeah.
They're fucking with your shit.
And now I like them. So now I like, I feed them and I try to help cats wherever I can.
Yeah.
Too much.
Don't let that become your life.
Nah, but it is a good part of it. I'm not gonna lie.
I think that is something I think a lot of people are probably familiar with or have done themselves, right?
Uh-huh.
It's easy to just like, oh, like there's this sad cat right here in the neighborhood. Let me give it a can of food or some dry food. Or
yeah.
Whatever, right? It's not your problem. You don't have to deal with them. You're just feeding them.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, pobrecito, dude.
Yeah,
like,
and then like next thing you know, it's not just that one cat. Then they start bringing you more cats.
All of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I ended up with the three cats that I have now or that we have now. It all started with one cat had a litter. So we're like, okay, cool, we'll take one. Same cat that wasn't fixed at the time had another litter. Oh, shoot, okay, well, we'll take another. And now we have another one, so now we have a total of three.
It's not from the same litter.
Two of them from the same
mom,
different litters. One from somewhere totally else. It was a stray cat from Southgate.
Step siblings all over the place.
Yeah, all of a sudden. So it's like we have to go through this transition of like training them to all get along or at least introducing them. That's kind of the hard part.
There's like a territorial thing going on.
Yeah.
You can't eat before the oldest one or the biggest one.
Uh-uh.
That's my spot. You need to get the fuck off my spot.
Yeah, so then you got to make sure that the other ones don't mess with the little one or pick on it or anything. So it's a hassle.
Yeah. It's always fun when you're barbecuing and then we see them sunbathing.
Oh, yeah. On the cat post. Yeah, because they come up by the window and they just like watch people out there.
Damn, that looks good. Can I have some?
Yeah. they like doing that. Whenever I'm out there, they'll look out the window. They'll keep an eye on me.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So let's talk a little bit about you, man. Where did you end up growing up?
In the same neighborhood where I live now, which is like, I guess you could say it's like Koreatown, Filipino town.
Mid-city-ish.
I think it's even called like Westlake Village or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in an area that's like bordering like four or five different neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I guess I could pick and choose where I want to be.
Hell yeah. Very convenient. But also very, accessible to a lot of delicious food.
Oh, yeah, 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 definitely. Like, anywhere you go in any which way direction, you can find something to eat. That's the cool thing about it. Like, you don't even need a car. Mm. You can pretty much walk in any direction.
I still think about that pupusa lady we went to go see in that back alley.
Now, those are probably, like, the best pupusas I've ever had. Her yuca frita with chicharron.
Yeah.
It's probably the best. It was the best I've had.
Freshly made.
And not just that, but I've never had them the way she did it. Usually, when I've had it, it's dry. It's like the dry yuca, and then they'll put whatever toppings, the curtidos and whatnot, mm-hmm. on top, and then, like, just dry pieces of chicharron or fried pork. That lady had it, like, kind of like in a stew, and it had, like, little bits of huerito mixed in it.
Hell yeah.
So that's all, like, oh, shit, this is fucking good, and I've never had anything like it. So I was like, shit, anything that I've had with that lady is good, and it was cheap. I think, like, 4 or 5 of us ate for, like, $20.
Mm-hmm. It was affordable.
Fuck yeah.
And then what was it like growing up in that neighborhood back in the day in the 90s?
Man, you're talking about Rampart.
Yeah.
Rampart fucking era.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've seen that neighborhood go through so much.
It's like, been through a lot. And
it's definitely been through a lot, and I've seen it go through its transitions and, like, its phases. And, yeah, the early 90s were, like, I think the early 90s in L.A. in general.
Were intense.
Were tense, but, I mean, who hasn't heard about the Rampart fucking scandals?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they made them into a TV show, The Shield, you know?
So, shit, I remember when they would have dudes from, like, different neighborhoods, and they would have them in the back seats of the cars, and knowing that the dudes from the neighborhood where I live would be out and about, and they would just be, like, teasing, like, lions like that. They'd be like, oh, look, we're going to drop you off. And I've seen them actually sometimes actually drop dudes off, and then the cops just book it, and then the other guys just run for their life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I saw a lot of that shit. Definitely a lot of that. A lot of drive-bys. A whole lot of stuff.
A lot of the gang violence of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because my family got here in 91, and we got to the first neighborhood I lived in was Bull Heights because we had a tío there, right? And they let us crash. And then the first place we moved out to was, like, Pico Union.
That's tough, too. Yeah. That's a tough neighborhood.
I liked it, though, because it was just, like, people everywhere.
Yeah, I will say that, like, there's some streets that are very, like, I guess some people like the quiet stuff, and then some people like the lively stuff. I'm, like, I like it like that, too. Like, I don't think I'll ever be the type of person that's like, oh, I need to go live in the woods or in the sticks, like, where it's quiet. It's like, I don't know. Maybe, who knows? But not now. Like, no. I like the whole, you know, liveliness of like, when I hear the tamalero dude in the morning. Yeah, or when, like, you see kids and people going to work or going to school.
Yeah.
Like, I like all that shit.
Yeah, because to me, those are signs of a healthy community, right? You see folks being comfortable enough to walk to the street, to walk to the bus stop, to walk to work, to have street vendors posted. Like, I was telling somebody earlier today, one of the things I love about being in Bull Heights and, like, off Cesar Chavez is anytime I'm cooking or I'm thinking about cooking something and I'm running errands, I can walk down the street and, like, grab almost anything I need from, like, a corner store, a carniceria, or from the señoras that are, like, selling fresh vegetables.
It's right? Convenience.
Yeah. So I'm always, like, appreciating that. Now more than ever, right? Because yeah. I think space is becoming such a contested thing, and gentrification is real. And once you stop seeing those kind of markers of, like, people walking around, especially, like, in the morning, right? People going to school, walking around, getting their morning walk. Once you stop seeing that, then you know how things really change.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like that. I like that. That's what I like about the community I live in, or the street where I live in.
Oh, yeah.
The area I live in.
And then where did you end up going to school?
Well, elementary, I went to some school up the street from my house called Commonwealth.
Convenient.
And then for middle school, I went to a closer street, which was across the street from where we live, which was Virgil Middle School.
Yeah.
So I went to Virgil. And then from there, I went to Belmont, and I graduated from Belmont in 05.
Hell yeah.
So I went to all the local, or the schools that kind of were in my neighborhood, the ones that I had to go to because they were in my area.
And that was, I mean, those schools are so different now than they were back then.
Shoot, I can't even imagine what they're like now, but
less overcrowded, that's for sure. Because, like, they've been opening up more schools.
Oh, yeah, because there's just, well, I mean, shit, just where Belmont is at, you have Belmont, And then you have Miguel Contreras, like literally down the street. And then you have the, I think it's called Roybal or something like that. And that's further
that
down
was Roybal originally was supposed to be the new Belmont.
I was supposed to graduate, I think, my last year there.
Yeah, I was supposed to be the first graduating class.
But then they came up with that whole shit about, like, oh, that the land was contaminated or something.
That's fucked up, dude, because not only did the new site of the new school had contamination issues, but Belmont was also built on top of that same problem.
Yeah. So I remember when all that was going about, they were like, oh, yeah, they're going to axe the whole school thing, and I think they were supposed to do, like, a fucking mall or some type of shopping center.
It shifted. It took more than 10 years for that shit to get built.
It took a long fucking time. So I think at the end they're like, fuck it, and they made a school after all.
Yep.
But I was supposed to graduate my senior year there.
You probably might have been at Belmont at the same time. I was there 2000 and 2001.
Well, if I'm from 05,
almost.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I think I was probably still in Virgil in 2000 or 2001.
Probably, like just about to wrap up.
Probably.
Because when I was there, they were also, that's the year that Lil Bow Wow like blew up, and they filmed his first music video there.
Oh, shit, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. That's news to me. I didn't know.
And then because I was hanging out with the skater kids, I always knew that, like, on the weekends, they was doing skate shoots there.
Yeah, because at that time, that the whole skating thing was reeled in with, like, the Tony Hawk games and the Tech Decks and all that bullshit.
X Games and shit.
Yeah, X Games was, I don't even remember when was the last time they had X Games.
That shit's still happening.
But it's not as, like, popularized as it was.
Nah. I mean, the Olympics, I just picked up skateboarding as an Olympic sport.
Okay, so, well, shit. There you go. But I remember all that was real popular back then. Shit, I remember even those shoes that had a little plate in the middle of them, the soaps. Because at the time, before skateboarding took, or at least got back into, like, popularity, I guess a lot of dudes were doing, like, the whole rollerblading thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then, when the dudes were doing the whole rollerblading trick thing, I guess people got hip to it, and they're like, we'll just make shoes with the little plate, and there you go.
Yeah, they're grinding and sliding off rails and shit.
Yeah. So I guess kind of like how they came with the wheelies later years after. It was like a little gimmicky thing.
And then I don't know how I found out, but I remember learning that they filmed the second Mighty Ducks movie there.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
And then anytime we fucking played hockey in PE, everybody was just trying to do a knuckle puck.
I never got into hockey, so I didn't know. I saw the movie.
It's PE, man. It's like, what random sport are we playing today, you know?
Shoot, I don't know. I think the most weirdest random sport we ever had was bowling.
What?
Well, that was in middle school.
Shit.
They would bowl in the auditorium. No, not in the auditorium, the gym.
How? There's no. Oh, you just set it up,
the basketball
right?
courts.
Yeah.
They just set it up, like, to bowl, in a sense.
Interesting. I do miss those old school, like, sports in school like that.
Batman and bowling, volleyball.
Dodgeball.
Tetherball.
Yeah, that was the shit at tetherball.
Tetherball. I hated tetherball. I hated tetherball. Well, I'm a poor loser, so anytime I wasn't, like, the greatest at sports, so I just stayed away from it. I just get pissed, and I don't want to play anymore.
Straight up taking my ball and going
pretty
home.
Much.
In school... Did you click up with anybody? Were you just out there doing your own thing?
I got along with everyone. Even, like, shit, to now. Like, even, like, it's funny because, like, my lady told me, like, fuck, you get along with everyone. Like, they could literally drop you anywhere and you'll make friends. Because, I don't know, I have that, I don't know how to say it. Like, I guess I just have that, I don't know if you want to say, like, attitude or whatever, where I'll just, like, I'll pretty much talk to anybody. I'll talk to anybody or make
find
friends with
common
anybody.
Ground, be open-minded.
Shit, even if you don't have anything in common, you know, you got to give, like, you know, just, you never know who you're going to talk to, who you're going to run into.
It's true. That's how I ended up with this podcast.
Yeah. You know? So, shit, I like talking to people, so, I'm cool with that.
All right. And then you graduated in 05. Did you end up going to college?
No.
I don't think I've ever had that conversation
with you. No, I think I went through that, like, oh, I'm going to give myself a break phase.
I gave myself a 3-year break.
Yeah. So that whole break thing was like, all right, cool, whatever. Like, I took a break, and then I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. And then there was a time where I got, like, into, I wanted to be a cop for whatever X reason. I don't know why.
Maybe because you saw Rampart going around the neighborhood.
I don't know. There was a time in my life where I wanted to do that.
I'll keep it funky. I eventually thought about that too, but I was like, nah, I don't want to be like a regular cop. I'll be that cop with a dog. So at least I have a dog.
I think I'm dipping into like already personal shit. I think I wanted to do it because I had family members that were like into they got really heavy into drugs. Mm. So that was a time in my life where like I hated that shit. Like I fucking hated it.
You saw what it was doing to them.
I saw what it was doing to them. So like that was really the only reason why I wanted to get into being a cop or into law enforcement, like cop or sheriff or whatever. Now I'm like, I'm not trying to do that. I'm happy with what I'm doing. But like I guess it was just a time in my life where like it was a little dark. Not me, but the people around me.
Mm-hmm. And you wanted to.
And I wanted. And it, in a sense, it was like I don't know. It's kind of like where like something angers you so much where you want to do something to like go, like change that. That's pretty much what it was. Mm-hmm. So I got into like I remember I started taking like administrative justice classes and all that shit.
Community
I even
college. Yeah,
yeah. I was going to LACC.
Hey.
And then after that, I remember I was even doing an internship at the. At that one station right there on Skid Row.
Oh, shit.
I forgot what that station was called.
Yeah, that's like downtown, some shit like that.
It had a name. I forgot. But, yeah, I was just like, you know, I was gung-ho. I wanted to do that shit, like, so bad.
Hey, man. I mean, good for you. You were out there, like, taking steps to, like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to...
Yeah. And then they I got disqualified. Like, I was, like, pretty much, like, one step away from the academy. And... when I went to go do, I guess, the lie detector test or whatever.
What the fuck?
That's the one that I failed.
They make you take a lie detector test?
They make you take a polygraph test.
Damn. I thought that was like a joke.
Nah. That's the second to the last step, I think, before you actually go to the academy. I'd passed the physical. I'd passed the written shit, all that other stuff. I passed all that until the polygraph. The polygraph is like they pretty much ask you a series of questions. Somewhat the same ones, just...
rephrased
or like moved around differently, like
they're trying to catch you tripping.
They're trying to catch you to slip.
Yeah,
you know. And I remember there was one question where the lady asked me, and she was like real stern too. So it was just like me being me. I'm trying to not be funny, but just be like a little friendly. So see, like kind of see if I could have her like loosen up a little bit. But that wasn't working.
Wrong situation, man.
Yeah, pretty much. So. So then I remember specifically she kept asking me a certain series of questions, but she kept asking me one where she was just like, have you ever exposed yourself in public or something like that? And I was just like, fuck. Like in my head, I'm thinking, like, I don't want to fuck this up. Like, I need to...
get this right.
I need to get this right. And, I mean, it's not like I was out there driving around, like, with my pecker out or anything like
nah.
that. Or, like, showing it. But so I was just like... she asked that and I said no. And then later on she kind of she kind of like gave me an example. She like example like peeing in public or like having sex in public or in a car. And I was like, fuck, like come on, who hasn't done it in a car, you know? So I was just like in my head, no.
That no.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know what I'm getting. Like, what if I say yeah? And she's like, oh, you fucking put me like on a sex offenders list or something. Like I'm just going through all these things in my head and I'm like worried about getting the job. And at the end of the day, that all that thing does is really pretty much just measure your like nervousness and all that shit. So
blood
like,
pressure.
Yeah. And I told her, and then she's like, oh, well, you're so in deception. I'm like, lady, I'm not lying to you. Like I'm being straight up. Like
it's
I got
like the charts going. I did.
Yeah. And then it blows up like in that Mo in the Simpsons episode. It just blows up.
I do not deserve this. Boom.
Yeah, and it's just like, and I told her, I'm like, lady, I'm not lying. I'm going to just be straight up with you. I'm nervous. Like, I mean.
This is a fucking situation right
like,
there.
Like, this is depending on what I've gone to school for. Like, everything depends on this. Like, if I fuck this up, then, like, then what? She's like, no, well, you're lying. I'm like, you know what? All right, cool. You know, whatever. Like,
fucking Karen.
She's all like, well, you can apply back, like, in 6 months. Like, I'm not going to go through this, like, every once or twice a year. It's like, no, it gets so, like, you know, after that.
Do you
just
pay
like,
for it?
Nah. I didn't pay for it, but it was just like by then it just like kind of took the wind out of your sails. I was like, you know what, fuck this. Like maybe this is happening for a reason. Like I'm not trying to do this. So, and then I just kind of let that go.
damn, dude, that's intense being put in that situation.
But that was the only, like, I guess, college or junior college I ever had. After that, I just, like, I went to trade school. I went to Trade Tech.
Hey, shout out to Trade Tech.
So I went through, like, the automotive courses there, and I graduated with all that
still
stuff.
One of the best, like, fucking schools in the city.
For trades, yeah. Hell yeah. Like, shit, if you want to, like, man, it's crazy because, like, I think there's, like, so many trades out there that people could get into.
Dude,
and do
like,
and make
so
good
many
money.
Of the homies went there for their fucking fashion program, right?
Yeah.
You know, they do that.
Yeah.
A lot of people go there to pick up a lot of skills.
Man, you could, you
family
could,
who
you
went
could
there.
You could go in there. You could be an electrician. You could be a mechanic, a diesel mechanic.
When I graduated from high school, because I didn't have papers and I was trying to figure shit out, I was like, fuck it, I'll just go to Trade Tech, right? And I'll learn a skill that will help me just become like my own business and I don't have to deal with that bullshit. So I tried applying, and this was just around 2002, 2003. So the admin staff at the school didn't know shit, right? They didn't know that like undocumented people can go to school. It's just extra paperwork you gotta fill out. So because of their lack of knowledge, I'm not going to say ignorance because that kind of implies a different thing, but just because they didn't know better, you know, they gave me the wrong information. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to go to Trade Tech to, like, become a welder, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool, like, I can learn how to weld,
yeah.
You know, fucking fix people's fences and shit like that,
you
go work
do,
at a
you
bottle
do
mechanic.
Pretty much anything.
Yeah, you know?
Anything.
So I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. Like, I'll fucking go blind eventually, but...
sterile.
Yeah. Sterile. Why is sterile?
I think it fucks with your sperm count.
The gas.
The fuck. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
There's like chemical reactions going on there. Yeah.
But I mean, like fumes and all that. I don't know if like the electrical stuff or something about that. Like supposedly, you can go sterile. I mean, well, shit. Look, supposedly, even if you have your phone in your pocket,
I mean, trust me, it doesn't work.
You know. So shit. But I mean. I mean, supposedly. I mean, I wanted to get into that too, but I never got into the welding stuff.
But yeah.
There's like, so many opportunities that are in there that, like, for people to go do something there. But, yeah, whatever. I don't know. I guess trades are done. Nobody wants to do trades anymore.
That's not what I hear, man. A lot of people want to go back and pick up a skill because their college education is expensive and those, like, loans are paying themselves.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, shoot. You could, like you said, you could go learn to be a plumber. You could be your own businessman. You could learn to be... like an electrician, anything. And all those are good union-paying jobs, too. That's like...
they're always in need.
Yeah, like something's always going to get built. Something's always going to break and need fixing.
And you know what? There's people like me who are afraid of electricity.
Well, I'm afraid of electricity, too.
So you got to call somebody to come handle like basic shit.
And it ain't cheap.
Nah.
No.
Uh-uh. So I tried being an electrician, too. I was like, damn, this sucks.
Yeah, no, fuck that shit.
So you just picked up a trade, became a mechanic, and then did you end up working at like a body shop or?
No, it's funny because like at the time, like I actually, while all this was going on, I was working at UPS.
School part time, work part time.
Yeah. So I was doing that, and I was working at the UPS right there on Downey Road and Bandini by the old Farmer John.
Yeah.
The Grande Vista. I was working there, and then
damn, that shit smelled.
It smelled bad. I think I could have sworn they told me too that there was like a leather company or something too that also did the dyes or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, when you would get those whiffs, like the wind would
blow
that
there.
Shit. It would blow all that nasty ass smell in the hub, and it would just like just linger in there. It's nasty, oh nasty, God, nasty. Man. But back to that, like I was going to Trade Tech for my automotive technician. While working at UPS, and at the same time was when I started kind of like dabbling with like barbecuing.
Oh.
So that kind of all tied in together at that time. And fast forward a little bit, like on weekends I would start like just messing around like barbecuing and stuff. And then I just kept on like tinkering with it. Like it was almost like an every weekend thing. So, like, come Monday, we'd be in class. Oh, look, I did this or I did that. And they're like, do you need to go to the culinary side? Because they have a culinary.
Yeah.
At Trade Tech, too. I was like, nah, fuck, I don't want to do that. It's just for fun.
You're just enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm just having fun. Like, you know, this is a weekend thing. Like, I'm not at work. I'm not at school. I'm just enjoying myself. And that's kind of how the whole kind of barbecue thing came about, too. I was doing that. And then I just kind of, like, when I finished school and everything... I kind of didn't go pursuing the whole automotive thing. I just kind of stayed at UPS. And then that's when I kind of started doing the barbecue more and more. And then that kind of picked up a little bit. That was like in, shoot, I want to say, man, I forgot. How long have I been doing that? I already spaced out. I got like a brain fart. I think like this was in like 2009?
Oh, shit. So more than 10 years ago.
No, was it? Fuck, I got to go back and check my dates now. See, that's how I'm getting old. But the shit is
like the fact that you don't remember right off the top of your head. You've been doing this a while.
Yeah. It's crazy, but it's been over 6-8 years. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, time just flies by, man.
Yeah, and that's when I started just kind of like, fast forward a little bit more. I kind of made a buddy of mine that's a blacksmith. I told him like, hey, dude, I want to learn how to weld and I want to do this smoker at the same time. That's how I got my Lucifer smoker. So we went and we did it, boom, all that. And I remember we finished it like on the 4th of July was the first time I lit it up. And I was like, fuck yeah, I got all into it. And then I kind of like was playing with it a little bit, learning how to use it and all that. And then I was kind of like bringing friends over to like kind of use them as guinea pigs to like test stuff out. I'm like, oh, look, I'm going to cook this. Just let me know what it's like. And like, I mean, it's come a long way from when I first started to now, you know, like. It's the learning curve, and
it's an expensive one because you're dealing with meat here.
Oh shit! It only got more expensive. Yeah. Like I remember the stuff I used to get that was cheaper before. It's like it's definitely way more expensive now. But I mean, shit, that's anything. It's fucking inflation.
Yep.
You know, but that kind of started picking up, and then little by little, like my lady was like, "Hey, dude, you should sell this stuff." Or like other friends were like, "You should sell it." I'm like, "Man, I'm not trying to sell." Like it wasn't even in my mind.
I feel the same way, man, about a lot of the stuff I do, like this podcast stuff, right?
Yeah.
People are like, man, you're good. I like it. You should, like, get sponsors, da-da-da-da-da. And to me, I'm like, I hear you. Thank you. I appreciate, you know, somebody reaffirming that what I'm doing is, you know, it's good. It's going somewhere. But I think I'm feeling the same vibe from you is, right, is once I start trying to monetize it, trying to sell it, trying to make a product for people, I think that's where I'm drawing the line of, like, I like doing this for myself, to talk to people, to get to know them, to put them out there, right, and share what they're doing, not to make myself a name or build up in a fucking podcast empire or nothing.
It loses its essence.
I just like doing it, yeah.
And that's how I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, come on, just do it. Man, I remember it started off with, like, I remember Costco has, like, the packs of ribs. It'll be, like, 3 or 4 in a pack. I remember the first time I did it, again, I'm a poor loser. So, like, I bought one pack of ribs, and I sat, like, I think, like, all day in front of the house, like, trying to sell 4 ribs.
Wait, you just decided I'm going
to... After I listened to everybody, I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it.
No, but, like, you cooked these ribs, you did what you did, but you didn't, like, you put it on Facebook or anything?
No, I literally just sat outside the house.
Oh, shit.
I sat outside the house.
So then, I mean, if I saw that, I would think, oh, that smells good. This guy knows how to barbecue.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go up to you and be like, hey, are you selling that?
No, I was literally just like, I stood there, and I was just like waving down anybody that was passing by. And at the time, I was like, I was so uncomfortable doing that. I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Just like begging.
Yeah, I was just like, can the day just go already so I don't have to do this anymore? And like, I was just like, fuck, finally, like, you know, I don't know what happened, like, where... Little by little, I think I started... That's when I started trying to go with more of the social media angle. So I was like, all right, cool. I told, like, 2 or 3 of my friends. I'm like, all right, cool. You're going to come. We're going to eat. But you have to just, like, share this. Like, that's all I asked for it. Nah, just random people, like, friends of mine. I was just like, shit. I'm like, all right, well, cool.
In that case, influencers.
Yeah, influencers. And I'm like, all right, dude, look, I'm a cook. And all I do is just take pictures of the shit and share it. That's it. And that's what and you know what? Surprisingly, like, I remember, like, looking back at it from the time that I kind of, you could say, I officially started to where it blew up, it happened, like, within a matter of months.
Damn.
Like, if I started in July of that year, by October was when Eater had already done a write-up. And that's when it was just a snowball effect. Damn. I still remember when the dude, the homeboy from... Farley.
Yeah.
He showed up, and then we ate, da da da, we kicked it and whatever, all cool. And then I got cool with the dude. He leaves, doesn't tell me, honestly, like, I didn't even know what he was going to do, a write-up or anything.
I knew he was going to do something,
but I didn't know to what extent or how. I thought it was just like, boom, take a picture. Oh, look what I ate, and that's it. Like, call it a day. Nah, like, when he came and he did that, it kind of, like, again, I didn't do that thinking it was going to go the way it did. I remember he came, he left, you know, days went by or whatever. And then I remember I'm at Costco buying more stuff for the next time that I cook, and my phone is just blowing up with notifications. I'm like, man, what the fuck, dude? I was already getting annoyed.
I take all notifications off my phone.
No, like, it's funny because, like, people that know me or that are, like, close to me, they know that whenever I'm driving or doing, or if I'm doing something and my phone is going off, that annoys the fuck out of me. Like, it annoys me. Like, I have to silence the phone or just, like, ignore him or just get mad. And I was just like, man, what the fuck is all this? And I just kept seeing the little Instagram camera. And I started getting, like, 40, 50 messages, ding, followers. Ding, yeah, ding, it was just, like, ding after ding. And then I'm like, what the fuck? And then they're like, oh, like, congratulations on the write-up. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I had no idea this shit had even came out.
That's kind of...
And then I finally, like, here we are at Costco. I pull off into a little side, and I'm like, man, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, they did a fucking write-up, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, I was, like, fucking ecstatic with this shit. I was like, no fucking way. I'm like, all these people are just hitting me up off of this. And it was just, like, nonstop. And then, like I said, ever since then, it was just, like, a snowball effect. It was just, like nothing but success after that.
Did that put any pressure on you now that you're like, oh, shit, I got the spotlight on me?
Well, yeah, because now it's like you have all these people hitting you up and wanting stuff when you went from, like, not selling too much to, like, now it's like you can't even keep up with this shit.
Yeah, you went from, like, trying to get people to eat it.
Yeah, and now it's like, now I'm trying to, you know, tell them to, like, leave me alone.
Speaking, damn, that's a trip, dude. That social media effect is exactly the way you describe it. It's a snowball effect.
Yeah. And after that was just like Eater, and then like Thrillist and LA Times, and like just random, like, you know.
That's how it works, man. Somebody picks it up and then everybody else sees that and is like, shit, we need to go do our own version of that.
Yeah. Like just like something that I did with Taste Made that's gonna be like a thing that's going to be airing. It's actually airing at the end of the month.
Ooh.
I didn't really...
We're recording this in November, by the way. That way folks want to look it up.
Yeah, it's gonna air, I think. Fuck, I got to look at the email. They told me it was on the 27th or the 29th.
Yeah, that's toward the end of the month.
Yeah. Where it's for this show with some chef, Stephanie Izard. She owns that Girl in the Goat and those restaurants like that. She's originally from Chicago, and now she's here. So they reached out to me. That was the most recent thing I did. And now that's going to air at the end of the month.
Hell yeah, dude.
So it's like, I've had that. I met, you know.
Well, that's how I ended up meeting you, because of the homie Cesar, the homie Lex, you know.
Yeah.
They put me
LA Taco.
Yeah, they put me onto you. And then ever since then, I've just been hanging out at your house eating barbecue.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, I don't want to be like name dropping or like kind of like over exaggerating myself or whatnot, but it's like I've been around the block. But the one thing that, like, I kind of do tell my, like, my lady or like the people that know me, it's like I feel like I've accomplished a lot with a small amount of time, or like just I feel like I've done a lot. I feel like I could pretty much say like I've accomplished, and I've probably put, I don't want to say I'm the only one that ever did it or whatever, but I guess I could say I put fucking barbecue on the map, at least for LA, or at least sparked some type of interest on it.
Part of that wave, yeah.
Because, I mean, shit, before I was, again, like, I'm not saying I'm the only one that's ever done it or the only one that ever will.
Yeah, what, Woody's out in South Central. There was another spot that was off Sunset and Fig that used to be legendary.
The Barbecue King.
Yeah, and then those fucking apartments got built.
Evans.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm the only one, like, or no one before me ever did it. Like, no, it's bullshit. Like, people have been doing this shit in their backyards forever. But prior to that, I don't think LA or California in itself was, like, really known for it.
Mm-mm.
We're known for taqueros and Mexican food. That's it, pretty much in a sense.
And putting pineapple on pizza.
Yeah, you know, or avocado toast.
Yeah.
but it's like, I mean, like I even kind of think like I when that eater thing came out, that was the first time I ever saw, at least me. I don't know if it's true or not. That was the first time I ever saw the word underground pop up ever used. So can I say
And this is before the pandemic too.
This was before the pandemic. This is way before. So like, is that the first time that the word was ever used? Was that the first? I, like, again, I don't know if that was the first time that, that Homeboy Farley ever did it, or if anybody's, like, I'm telling you, I've gone back and I can't see it. I can't see it, it, you know, underground pop up this or that.
Now it's pretty common. Now, people know what
that
is.
Now it's like, you know what it is.
Show up to somebody's house and shit, and they're cooking bomb ass food.
And then, like I'm saying, before you know it, like everybody and their moms has a pop up, and then like everything, there's like a barbecue rush, and then next thing you know, everything comes in waves. Like now, there's like a shitload of fucking spots that you could get barbecue from.
Yeah, we just came off a birria wave.
Yeah, a birria wave or the hot chicken wave.
Yeah,
smash burgers. Like everything comes in waves.
My heart can't take it.
You know, but it's just like at least for me. I'd be comfortable with saying that at least I can say I sparked this shit off.
Uh-huh. You were right there.
Or at least I was one of the first ones
to
do it.
You were in the mix, man.
You know, so that's why it's like even Homeboy from Slab, Trudy's Barbecue, even that fucker's like, nah, dog, you're the OG. And that dude's a heavy hitter.
I feel you on that.
So, you know, but the way I see it, like, to me, this shit's still funny. Mm-hmm. It's funny because it's like, I don't want to say like I'm a little fucking celebrity or this or that, but like I know I ain't the average Joe, but I still feel like one.
You put in the time, man.
But the thing is, like, what I'm saying is, like, I still feel like that. Like, it doesn't get to my head. I think a lot of times some people that do something or like pop-ups or whatever, like, they don't stay humble.
I see.
Like, shit, I'm right here with you right now. I'm not saying you're a nobody, but it's like, look, we're out here shooting the shit and kicking it.
Yeah.
You know, and even if somebody else hits me up, like, oh, like, you want to go, like, I've had people tell me, like, hey, do you want to meet up and go here? Like, I got this. I'm like, yeah, I'll go with them. And that's how I make friends. Like, I end up making friends and acquaintances through that.
Through eating.
Through eating. And it's just, like, I don't see a lot of other cats doing that.
Kind of, like, separating themselves. Like, nah, I don't do that.
Yeah. Or I don't know if it's a, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of, like, my ass. Like, maybe they just don't feel comfortable being around people. Or maybe they're introverts, outroverts, however you want
to
say it.
I think that speaks to you, man, and your upbringing in the hood, right? You tried so many different things before you got to the barbecue thing. And even then, you know, that's not still the center of your life. That's part of something that you do.
Yeah. And like everyone, I think a lot of people told me that I'm, like, a very approachable person. Or, like, I have, like, this, I don't know, like, even my lady says, you're just like your dad, dude. Like, my dad's, like, the one where we go, he, like, tries cracking jokes, and, like, he likes being the little center of attention.
I know what you're talking about, because I grew up, like, for better or for worse, hanging along with my dad everywhere. And anytime he would show up somewhere, it would always be that informal, like, profesor, maestro, licenciado, right? Like, some amicable thing that gets the conversation going in the right way to do business, to handle something, right? Or sometimes just to get fucking drunk.
Yeah. But I think that's what helps me a lot too, my attitude. I think a lot of it has to do with, like, people's successes, their attitudes.
Attitude or gratitude.
Yeah, like you know, I guess sometimes think that, like, oh, the whole chefy shit, like, oh, you gotta be a dick. And you're like, no, you don't.
Yes, chef.
Yeah, like, fuck all that. Like, I don't get down like that, you know?
It's true. Do you think that you've been at UPS for a minute, because, and that also is a front facing job, right? You're dealing with people a lot of the times. Do you think that also played a little bit into it? Because for me, one thing that's helped me a lot, right, to get out of my shell, to get out of my box, is journalism. And this is not something where I can just be at home in my computer and do. I have to talk to people. I have to ask people questions. I have to get them to talk to me. So I've learned to talk to people, right? So you think that's something that kind of, like, came in with UPS?
Nah, I think that's just the way I am. I like to talk.
Yeah.
I like to talk. I'm not ashamed of who I am, where I'm from.
You got pride.
I'm not a person that isn't in touch with themselves. I'm not a person that's shy or or isn't comfortable with himself, like, I take it the way it is.
Yeah. That's dope, man. It's so hard to meet folks like that for so many different reasons, right?
Yeah.
Some of us take a little longer to get to that outrovert mm-hmm. aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
So with the barbecue thing right now, you've also been messing around with Traeger grills, right?
Yeah.
What has that been like? Because when I went, you invited us over when you were trying out the grill. I was like, this shit's all electric. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they've since then, like, kind of giving me like a sponsorship, I guess, or like a what do they call it here? I forgot. Do you see?
I'm endorsement.
Having, no, they brand ambassador.
Hey.
So in other words, I'm a vessel for their product. I guess, yeah. Like, you know, I'm a credible source or whatever, a credible person. I use it and people see it, and you know, they're like, okay, cool, and like, I love that thing. Like, I guess when you come from a I'm not a very purist person when it comes to certain things, but to other things I am. So, and when it came to barbecue, like, I've always told people, like, I've approached barbecue with a very mechanical or a very automotive background thing. Like, when you work on cars, you use the right tool for the right job.
Yeah. It's you know, a process. You can't just go in there.
You're all about working smarter, not harder. So, like, I get it with, like, some barbecue pits or whatever where some people, like, hey, if you want to sit there and throw wood at it every fucking 15, 20 minutes.
Like they do in Texas.
Be my guest. You know, if I could do the same thing with what I use or with anything else that makes my job easier, I'm going to go for the easy route. Mm. Like, I don't need to beat my chest and say, like, yep. I'm out here every 15, 20 minutes, and like, yeah, like, not, again, that's not
five
me.
In the morning.
Yeah, like, I mean, hey, more power to you, you know, but if I could do the same thing or maybe even better, you know, why not take the easy route?
Yeah, yeah, I like that, man. It doesn't behoove us to just be that rigid and just say there's only one way to do it right.
Yeah, exactly. There's everyone has a, you know, their point of view or their weight of doing things, and you know, when I try doing that, I'm like, yeah, and everybody's like, oh dude, it's not real barbecue, it's an outdoor oven. I'm like, in a sense it is, but I mean, it's still burning wood, it's still making a fire, so the concept is there.
It's like an air fryer is actually just a convection oven.
Exactly. But I don't let the whole purity or the pride of it get to me. I'm like, no, shoot, I love that shit. They love me, so you know. So,
but I think that also speaks to you and your situation, right? I don't think you would have the space to do something like full blown like wood oven, right?
No, yeah. I don't. Like that's why even the smoker that I have, Lucifer, was built vertical for more space. Because I mean, I live in an apartment. Mm-hmm. I don't have a house. I don't have a big yard. I don't live with my folks. I'm out on my own. You know, so. If I had, you know, my family's house or whatever, or like where I have all this room or
space and time,
then, you know, then maybe I guess things would be different. But I do with what I got.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So I want to transition. And I think the senora might be making noise because it's almost time to go. Is it? What time is it?
Shoot.
Oh, it's like, oh, you want to put in your order right now?
Yeah.
Put in your order. Let's pause this.
Okay.
20 minutes.
I did. Like, it's 6:40 right now. They close at 7.
Okay.
And they just got a phone order, too.
Yeah.
Getting orders the last 10 minutes, 20 minutes of working at a restaurant, it's not the most fun time.
And I'd be like, motherfucker, like, now I got to... like, I was already sweeping and shit. Motherfuckers coming in. I put that shit away already. Now I got to put it back out.
Damn it.
Motherfucker, you couldn't order that shit away.
Microwave your shit now.
Probably.
But I wanted to transition to the other aspect of your life that, yeah, you know, a lot of folks know you for, which is cruising, for having a classic car.
Yeah.
How did that passion get started for you?
Oh, man, I was a kid. That shit literally started as a kid.
Mm.
Like, I think if I could go back as far back as I could remember, I was probably like five or six years old.
Wow.
So, shit, 36 now, over 30 years ago. So it's like, I think, like, whenever somebody has a passion for something, be if it comes later in your life or at the beginning of your life, like, I can honestly say that that's been like a good part of my life since I was a kid.
Constantly there. Yeah.
It was always there. It wasn't like, I think now we have like this kind of, I almost call it like fucking cholo cosplay stuff. Where like,
there's a lot of that going around.
You got these waves of like these youngsters that are dressing up with like Pendletons or like with
these
Charlie Browns.
These kids have raised the prices of Dickies, which is basically my uniform.
Well, last time I bought a pair was like, I buy them every like maybe 2-3 years.
Yeah, I buy them in bulk.
Yeah, I buy them too. I get them in every color that I want. And the ones that I like the most, I have like 6 pairs of the same color.
Yeah.
Which is like a, I think it's called Air Force Blue.
That's the lighter one.
It's like a, like almost like a, I don't want to say teal, but like a bluish.
Yeah.
Bluish gray. Yeah, I love that one. That's probably my favorite one.
Burgundy, I got olive green, of course, black and blue, different shades of black and blue. Yeah. And that's it. I tried wearing like silver ones. I was like, damn, this is bright.
The Smurf blue?
Yeah.
So the last time I bought some, those were $20.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've gone up now. I remember the shorts were always, I never got that. How the fuck is a short more? It's less material.
I don't know, man.
Fucking shorts are 25 and pants were 20.
I don't like wearing shorts. To me, wearing shorts makes me feel like a dork.
Oh, shoot, that was quick. Gracias. That was quick.
That's why whenever my pants get old, I just turn them into shorts.
Cut pants.
Yeah, cutoffs.
Yeah, no, I always thought, I'm like, man, what the fuck? How does that work out? Like, if they're...
Because they got that cell phone pocket. I don't know.
I don't give a fuck about the cell phone pocket, but it's just like, in my head, it's like less material should be less. The shorts should be 15.
Inflation.
Or sell the pants for 25 and the shorts for 20. It's just, I can't get over the fact. More material should cost more. Less material should cost less.
Oh, man. You're going to have to take it up with Dickies.
Probably.
Hey, you can be a brand ambassador.
Shit, if they want to make me a brand, I'll show them, like, hey, dog, look, my whole closet's full of you guys' stuff.
It's me right here with you, man.
You know? Be like, oh, look, it withstands hot barbecue sauce stains and grease.
That's what I tell people when I'm eating and there's no napkins or anything. I was like, fuck it, I got pants.
Yeah, just use the inside of them. You don't see that part, you know? But...
But yeah, a lot of cholo cosplaying going around.
And it's just like, I think you're just kind of following again, like, trends. Like,
yeah, the Cortez came back around.
Man, we grew up in an era where, like, if you wore that, your ass would get shot or beat up or something. Like, serious consequences came with what you wore.
Yeah, I still have, like, trauma of that.
Now it's more like we're going to play... cholo on the weekends, like Monday through Friday I'm something, and then on the weekends, like, I'm gonna go to this car show that I have nothing to do with the culture or nothing, or like, now I want to kind of show interest in it because I'm dressing like this. So yeah,
go to Weird Ear Boulevard and
yeah, it's a costume now. I mean, I get it. Some people are like, oh, well, it's bringing up the culture and it's showing. I'm like, okay, I guess I get it if you look at it from that point of view or whatever. Everyone has an opinion, whatever. But like, for me, it's like, nah, man, this isn't you.
Yeah, you can tell.
This isn't you.
Yeah, I was at a Day of Dead event, and I saw somebody looking all cholo-fied. I was like, yeah, you're way too young to know what that is, and it's a fashion. It's like fucking Gwen Stefani, you know? You're just there.
And they get cliché-ish, too. Like, yeah. You can tell they're trying way too hard. Way too hard. So I was like, no, fuck all that.
Yeah, okay, let's pause for a little bit. All right, so as you heard, the señora was picking up the chairs very loudly, kind of like asking us to leave. So there's this place across the street from Tortas El Güero called Texas Donuts, which we're going to go get right now. But you were talking about what was across the street?
It was a market, I think. This market on the corner, what is it, Ford and Whittier?
Yeah.
I think it looked like it burned down. I remember they used to sell rotisserie chickens or like pollo asado right there, right?
Oh, no shit. I don't remember. I never went there. I just remember because the Mexico flag is right there.
I never went there either, but I remember when we used to cruise up and down here, I would always see that spot right there. And then I had a buddy of mine that lived down on 2 blocks away from here. So when I would be out here, I would remember seeing that there.
All right.
But look, it looks like it burned down, or either they're starting to knock it down. But
little both.
I, it's dark, I can't tell. But yeah. I remember the rotisserie chickens.
Let's try these donuts. Donuts are all about. So, we just got these 2 giant Texas-sized donuts because they're closing in another 20 minutes. And they gave it to us for free along with a bunch of other stuff.
Well, we went in there with just the excuse to sit in there and buy one donut. And we ended up walking out with a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, put it a little closer.
He was like,
He's like, oh, I'll fucking throw. I guess he wanted to close already. He's like, I'm. Yeah. And he said, that's the thing I was telling you. Like, homeboy gave us a bunch of stuff because he knew he wasn't going to sell it anymore. It's already towards the end of the day. He's like, I'd rather give this and somebody eat it than throw it away.
And he said it, too. He just wants to go home. It's the end of the workday.
Dude wants to go home. And, like, I don't know if he's taking the day off tomorrow or not, but he was asking us if we were taking the days off or whatnot. But
I mean, it's a donut shop. I imagine they're fucking out
they never close.
Like an hour before they open, so like 4 or 5 in the morning or something.
And like how I told you, like I was telling you, I don't think a lot of donut shops are even open 24 hours a day anymore. Mm-hmm. I remember before, that was like a thing. They were almost all open 24 hours, if not really, really late.
Yeah.
This is like 7:30, I'm done. I'm leaving.
It's dark. But I think it's mostly the corporate ones now.
Probably. Yeah, the mom and pop ones are like, man, I'm not trying to get robbed.
Nah, man. That shit's sketch out here, but... As we leave the restaurant and go across the street to pig out on some donuts, we were talking about growing up with a passion and love for car culture, for cruising. In your family, who was in your vicinity, in your circles that was bringing that around to you?
I think how I got into the whole car aspect was my dad. His profession was a mechanic.
All right.
So when he was growing up in Mexico City, you know, he said he picked up on that as a kid. So he started working on cars, he said, when he was like 13, 14 years old or whatever. And then that became his profession. And then he left Mexico City and came here to L.A. and made his life here. And he had a shop out in Venice for like years.
Oh, shit.
And that was his thing. And then he retired and let go and, you know... Now he's a retired man, but I remember as a kid, like, I always had this, like, really good relationship with my dad where, like, I always thought, like, my dad was, like, the biggest man on earth. Like, I still look at him like that, you know? Like, I love my dad. And I think when we're kids and if we look up to our dads or if you look up to somebody, whatever they do, you're going to glorify and you're going to think they're the best thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, I would always think, like, damn, this is cool. Like, my dad works on cars and this and this and that. And then that's when you start, like... seeing that there's more out there than just like a commuter vehicle. Like, oh, like cars can be more than just taking me from point A to point B.
And on the weekends, point C.
Yeah, you know? So then that's when I started like looking at like, oh, there's hot rods, there's low riders and all this. But the low riders are the ones that stuck out to me. Mm. And I remember, again, this is like in the early 90s. I remember like 92, 93, all that, like, I had older brothers, and one of my oldest brothers, he was into that kind of stuff. So naturally, again, this goes back to like little brother, big brother, you know. So I would always like anything he did, I was like, oh, you know, it's cool. So he liked that. So I was like, oh, you know, here I am tagging along. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Agreeing with him, you know, not knowing any better, like not knowing that
you're happy to be included.
Yeah. So I remember I used to buy like. Like, I didn't know that magazines came out once a month. So every weekend I would go with my dad on Saturdays to his shop to go supposedly help him. Like, I mean, I can't do it. Like, the only thing I would do is really clean tools. So for me, it was like, cool. We go to shop. Before we get to the shop, I know I'm getting McDonald's or something for breakfast. So that's like fat ass right there. Like, you're going because you're going to get food.
Let me get the combo breakfast.
Yeah, like, I already knew right off the bat, before we get to the shop, we're getting something to eat. McDonald's, Jack in the Box, or... something. So like right off the bat, like that was one reason to go. Then it was like, you know, I get to be around like him and all his buddies and pretend that I'm working or like supposedly learning something. And then I would go to the liquor store next door and I would always go to see if they had a new lowrider magazine. And whenever there was a new one there, I would buy it. But again, I went there every Saturday thinking there was another magazine every Saturday, but it was a monthly thing, but I didn't know any better. But that was always like my thing, you know, and that was kind of like the beginning. But the thing that really, really sparked it for me was one of my brother's friends that I'm still friends to this day now, good friends with. They went to high school together. And I remember one time they were hanging outside the house. And he had this green Impala, like a jungle green with, like, gold rims. Like, gold lowrider rims, like the wire wheels. And I'm just like sitting there looking at it like I've never seen gold rims on a car. So I thought that was the coolest shit ever. And I'm just looking at it. I'm just like zoned in on it. I don't know why I focus so much on the fucking rim.
Like hypnotized.
Yeah. And I'm getting closer and closer to it just like to get a better look. And they're in the car like, I guess, I don't know, whatever, doing what they were doing. And I got, my face was literally like almost on the fucking wheel. And when I got close enough, I guess they thought it'd be funny to like, you know, hit the little hydraulic switch and make the car go up. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, this shit has gold rims, cool paint, and it fucking jumps or it moves up like that. It was a wrap after that.
Damn.
Shit, I remember after that, like everything was lowrider. Like I was buying, I don't know if you remember the little hologram stickers.
Yeah, man.
The ones that are like fucking have like the smile and I'll cry later and they'd have a car.
I have the Simpsons ones. Like, shit. I saved a bunch of those.
Whenever I would see those little machines at the 99 cent store at random little stores where you put a quarter and you get the sticker out, I was getting those.
Man. They had the
All of them.
Models, everything.
Any magazine, anything that was lowrider, I was getting my hands on.
I remember for a while they had the little lowrider model kits that you could put together.
They did do those. And I remember that's another thing that I got into. Like, I remember I would buy the model cars. And then, you know, we would put them together at the house. And then they started selling kits that were like, it was pretty much like if you were to tear apart a little toy, mm-hmm. it's a little motor.
Yeah.
So they would sell the kits. Kind of
like the same motor that is used for like old school.
Yeah,
like,
for toys
machines.
Or whatever. Yeah. So you would get those. I remember we went to, I think it was the Sloss and Swami. The Sloss and Swami would sell, again, because this was starting to pop off back, like, in the early 90s, where, like, model cars were a thing.
Well, that, too, in the 90s, the Sloss and Swami was one of the hubs of, like, fucking being able to go to the Swami and get your fucking hip-hop records and shit, you know? Get your gear.
Everything and anything was there.
Yeah.
And I remember we would go there, and they would sell you, like, the little kits. They would have, like, the motors, the little batteries, and it was literally, like, little plastics that were to, like, make the car go up and down, the motors, and then you would tie, like, fishing string or something to the motors, and then the batteries, and then once you did all that, you wired the little switches, and that's what would make the car go up and down or jump or three-wheel or do whatever it was. That's what it was, and we did that.
Basic shit.
Yeah, and, like, I remember one of the coolest moments that I also had, too. I remember I was in the second or third grade. I remember it was 93. Mm. In 93, I remember I suckered my dad. Well, not even suckered, but I talked him into taking me to one of the Lowrider Super Shows at the Coliseum. So I remember we bought the tickets, and I thought, like, dude, I was fucking, like, happy as fuck when he took me. Like, it was sensory overload. I'm like a little kid.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you being a little kid and, like, being already so much into lowriders that, like, you're already, like, I've had, like, so many people.
Oh, I was in it. And I remember, like, I held on to that ticket. I regret not knowing where that little ticket is now. Like, I held on to that ticket. I was like, this is, like, something to cherish. And, like, I think 2 or 3 years later, the super show here in L.A. was, like, canceled because at that time, like, again, it was the early 90s. Mm-hmm. A lot of gang shit was going on. So 2 or 3 years, I remember we went to the one in 93, 94 or 95, I think was the last one. Because the year before, or that year, it was on the news with Chris Blatchford and all that when he used to do the Fox Undercover and all that shit. Where there was a big gang fight at one of the shows, and they have like the videos. I remember seeing it on there where, like, you know, it's like groups of people like facing each other, throwing gang signs. Next thing you know, it's like, it's that whole like taunting and taunting.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, shit starts flying, and then that's when the shit just hits the fan and everything.
Somebody throws a chair, and then boom.
They were throwing chairs. They were throwing fucking trophies from cars. It just became an all out shit show. And then unfortunately, one dude got killed in there.
Damn.
And I remember when that video came out on the Fox News when they were showing the dude, some dude that got beat up. And while the dude is lying there on the floor, one guy runs up, and you could just see him just stick him, like, with a knife or whatever.
I think I've seen that video.
And that was the end of the Lowrider show here in L.A.
Fuck. You know, fucking Hugh Hauser went to one of those super shows.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I used to like watching that
show. You
can
find that shit, like, on YouTube or something. And like,
oh, but I think he went to one in Japan, though.
Yeah. Well, that fool got around.
I remember that. So you're telling me. I remember that. That was his thing.
But no, he was at the Coliseum. He was talking to folks. Okay. People were talking about. And then I watched another episode where he was learning about lowrider bikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was like one of like I'm saying, like I've honestly like this has been a big part of my life for as long back as I could remember. Like I've had it in me already. And like this is going to be with me till the day I fucking die.
Damn.
Like I've always tell everybody like I'm a fucking lowrider before anything else. Like everything else comes second after this. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, all that. This is me above anything.
Damn.
You know?
That's real. Do you remember how old you were when you were like, damn, this is my car. This is my first car, my first lowrider.
I bought my very first car when I was 17. And it was a 51 Chevy. And I was still in high school. Because I've always liked old cars. I bought that one. And again, like, I'm still in high school. I don't even have a job. Like, it's at my dad's shop. And it's just like, oh, yeah. Like, I'm saving money. Oh, I'm buying primer. Or I'm buying this. Or I'm buying that. Working to, like, supposedly it. Fix it. Yeah, but, I mean, I don't have a fucking job. You know, like, I'm never going to have the money to fucking restore that thing. Like, at 17, come on. You're not going to do it. So then I sold that one. And then I ended up getting a Buick Riviera, and that one needed less work. But again, like, I don't have steady job or work or anything, you know. Ended up selling that one, and then I got an El Camino. Drove that for a while, and then I sold that. Mm. And then, I guess, like, at the time, like, my dad also, too, like, he wasn't really fond of it. Because, like, I think my parents had that stereotypical view of, like, lowriders as, oh, that's a cholo car. That's fucking gangbanger shit. So they're like, nah, fuck no. We don't want you fucking getting shot at. Or, like, they just had that, like, old school mentality. And I'm like, come on. Like, we're not. It's not like that anymore. Like, get over it. And I think as far as, like, I know this probably just isn't me. I think a lot of us as, like, first generation Mexican American or Latino or wherever your family's from, I think we kind of want to please our parents.
Yeah.
And that was my thing too. Like, I think a lot of us sometimes when we're young, we're scared to kind of come out of our shells because we're like, oh, what is my dad and my mom going to think? Or what are they going to think?
Those familial societal pressures. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like I wanted one, but I knew they were going to talk shit. And then they're like, oh, well, you're not going to park it here. I'm like, well, where the fuck am I going to put it then? So they put you in situations where it's just like, they make it almost near impossible. But then I got to a point in my life where I was already, like, in my early 20s. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not a little kid anymore. You know, like, I'm going to just fucking do it and say, fuck it, whatever. And then just, like, in one of those, like, situations where, like, you do something and you ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember a buddy of mine, like, they weren't going to stop me no matter what. Like, I wasn't going to say, like, oh, well, my parents don't like this. Like, that's it. I'm not going to give up I'm going to give up low riding and then just do something else. I was just like, fuck it. So I remember I went and I bought this car behind my dad's back. And I said, fuck it. I'm going to just drive it home. And when I get home, what's he going to say? Take it back? And I remember we brought the car back. And it was a 75 Impala. We drove that car back. And then I remember him and my mom were outside. And they're just looking at me like, what the fuck? And then I was just like, I was laughing. I was just like, you ain't gonna do shit now. Like, it's here.
That grin.
Like, yeah, it was just like, I was happy as fuck. I was just like, well, it's here, so whatever. And then they were just like, oh, like, why? Why'd you get it? Da-da-da. I was just like, you know what? Just, like, fuck, let me be, dude. Like, this is my shit. Let me be happy. And then I guess finally my dad was just like, ah, well, whatever. And then he was just like, yeah, he's like, well, fuck it. Oh, this looks like it needs work and that. So that, like, little by little, he kind of opened up to the whole view of the lowrider thing. And pretty much he kind of, like, let me be. And then he's always been there and helped me out with everything that I need with the car. So, like,
yeah, man, those years of, like, that fucking expertise that he has.
Yeah. So we kind of, like, it became a thing now where it's, like, he viewed it as a bad thing. But now it's a thing that we can both do as, like, father-son shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Man.
So that's what I do with him. And, like, now that he's retired, like, he's been those people that, like, you could tell he didn't want to retire. He probably wanted to work till he could, like,
I feel it's a real sense of not having purpose. and, right? Because you're driven to just go to work, yeah. go to work.
And that's another thing, too, that my dad would tell me. He's like, I love this shit. Like, yeah. I love the fucking smell of gas. I love the smell of oil.
It's
like,
not good for you, though.
Like, he's all like, I love this shit. So for me, it's like, it's something that I could do. It's something that keeps him busy and keeps him going, you know? Because I think a lot of times, sometimes when people don't feel like they don't have a purpose.
They're not productive.
Or a need. Or especially with them old school Mexicans. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, I'm not dumb or I'm not this. That's one thing that my dad would always say. No soy pendejo, no soy pendejo. I'm like, dude, nobody's calling you that, dude. Like, relax. But, like, he just wants you to know that he ain't dumb. And he ain't, I'm like, dude, I'm not calling you dumb. Like, relax. Like,
yeah,
chill.
Yeah. Take it easy.
Yeah. I'm like, your blood pressure's going to go up. Mine, too. Like, relax.
Mucho calm down.
Yeah. So, like, I have to kind of, like, chill him out with that stuff. But, like, yeah, you know, it was a little turning point after that. And ever since then, like, I got that one. Then I sold that one. I got another one. And then now I got the one I got now. And it's just been an ongoing thing.
Yeah, man. This is beautiful to hear you say that, because I remember a while back on your Instagram, you were sharing how the way, you know, you were telling that story about you were in, like, just like hypnotized by the rims of the lowrider, that you had a similar experience with your nephew. Like,
yeah. Well, because, like, there, like I'm saying, like, late last year, early this year, my oldest brother passed away. Mm-hmm. And, like, I kind of had a fucked up relationship with him that I regret now, but whatever, like, that's more personal. And I kind of felt like I owed it to his son to kind of, like, try to guide him in the right way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I kind of did that with him. I'm like, if that did it for me and that kept me out of trouble, like, I never fucked around with gangs or drugs. I smoked weed once in my life. Didn't even fucking get high and, like, whatever. But if it was, I just want that boy to, like, kind of put him under my wing any which way I could, you know?
Yeah, so be that uncle, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's what I did with him.
That's fucking beautiful, dude.
Yeah.
I know, like, I think for a lot of us, having just that positive male role model in your life can make a fucking world of difference, dude. Yeah.
So that's why I kind of try to, like, replicate what did it for me for him, however I could.
That's, you just know? Funny, like, oh, you try to scare him the same, yeah, way.
So at least I got a little reaction out of him, too.
And then, I think that was pretty much it for all the questions I had. If you have any shout-outs, I know you do the barbecue thing right now. When you have the time, maybe you have some time coming up.
Oh, right now my smoker fucking took a shit, so I gotta...
Oh, shit.
I gotta fix that, but, like...
But you took it recently to get clean.
Took it recently to get a few things refurbished, but it wasn't until I got it back where I found more issues with it. And at that time already, it's like, dude, like, I got my birthday coming up, like, I got
holidays,
and it's just like, I came out of pocket for all that stuff. All that stuff costs money. So it's just like, I was like, you know what, like, work and with my birthday party, like, my birthday party, like, costs a pretty penny to fucking do. So I mean, I gotta pay the music, I gotta pay, like, the permits for the fucking park. Yeah, I gotta pay. It's expensive. So it's like, I mean, I could have easily said, fuck it, I'm not gonna do that, and then just fix my smoker. But it's just like, nah, like, for me, it's like, that's moment, you can't buy that shit with money. Nah, like, happiness, man. You can't buy that. I mean, you technically can. I mean, but...
It helps.
But I mean, if money definitely helps, but you can't take that away from me. Like how we said, like, I'm all for living your fucking life, and if like I said, if we fucking, something happens to us right here, right now, or whatever, like, at least I could be like, you know what? I had that one really good birthday party just like two, three days ago, and I had really, like, a lot of fun, but fuck it, whatever. If it's my time, it's my time. At least I'm gonna go out happy.
I feel that, man.
So I was like, nah, you know what? The barbecue could wait.
As I've gotten older, I've learned to celebrate birthdays in that spirit, too.
And that's kind of why sometimes, like, too, like, I almost went, like, this whole year without barbecuing because, like I said, the whole thing that happened with my brother, you know,
it's been a
personal issues and like, I just said, you know what, fuck that. Like, I'm taking some time for myself. And a lot of people were, like, really cool about it, and they're understanding, and they're like, you know what, whatever. Like, I ain't going anywhere. You know, they're like, all right, you come back. When you come back, you come back. Whatever, we're here. You know, so
a lot of people. Life happening, man. Life happening.
So a lot of people are cool about that. I'm all for, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm fucking tough and I'm this and that. Like, no, like, people have issues, you know. I don't think sometimes some people don't like to talk about them, but we need to understand them and we need to – know that if something's bothering us or if something's there, that, like, you know, you need to deal with that.
Yeah, man, we need that space. We need that time to just get in there and do what we need to do, mm-hmm. so we can keep moving forward. And with that said, we can wrap it up from here. Folks can find you on Instagram at Ragtop Ferns Barbecue.
Uh-huh.
And if you want a bit barbecue from him, just keep an eye on Instagram. You usually post, like, a couple of days before the weekend that you're gonna do, like, a queue.
That's the best way to get a hold of me, through Instagram, pretty much.
Cool. Well, thank you again, man. Thank you so much for putting me on to Tortas El Güero, for coming down to East L.A., to Whittier Boulevard. Fucking noisy as fuck now that we're standing out here.
I'll probably be out here on Sunday.
Hey, there it is. Sundays are for cruising.
And there's supposed to be a little cruise on Sunday, so I might be out here Sunday, so I'm not sure.
Come out here in Cholo cosplay.
Boy, no shit. Go get your Charlie Browns, your FB Counties, your Ben Davis.
Charlie Brown is now Carlos Moreno.
Oh, there you go.
This has been Orale Ball Heights. I'll catch y'all on the next one.